Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Have you ever thought that you knew all the facts about a situation or about an issue, but then you learned a new insight and it completely changed everything? How many can relate to that? Many of you can. If you're a parent, you probably experience that maybe once a week. Your kids are fighting, and Mommy, Joey hit me! And so we're going to administer the consequences of Joey's actions until we find out that Freddie bit Joey first. That changes everything. I'll give you another one, and this is one from personal experience. It was when I was in college, and I was dating a young lady. Her name was Rebecca, and she became eventually my wife, who we will have been married 34 years in May. I thank God for that. But we'd gone on a couple of dates, and this was in the fall of the year. This is right before Christmas break. And for our third date, I was going to take her to a Christmas program, a singing Christmas tree. Now, for those of you who do not know what a singing Christmas tree, it's like when they build on a stage kind of this choir loft, and it's like it one row, and each row gets smaller. It's like a pyramid, and so it looks like a Christmas tree. They've got it decorated like a Christmas tree. A lot of times there's acting and lots of different music. So I was going to take her to that, and it was in a church that was 40 miles from where our college was. So we went out to dinner, went to the singing Christmas tree. And the thing is that we weren't exclusively dating anyone else at this time. Well, we were just getting to know each other. But we'd had a couple of dates, and I took her on a Friday night, and I knew that she had a date with another guy on Saturday night. And Rebecca told me they were going to a Christmas party. Well, we went on our date, had a great time. Saturday rolls around, Saturday afternoon, I'm in the dormitory bathroom because the dorms we were in, the rooms did not have individual bathrooms. The whole floor had to share the bathroom. And so John, the young man who was taking her out on the date, I knew who was taking her out, he was in there getting ready and just making small talk. And he's saying, "Yeah, I'm going to the singing Christmas tree tonight." And I'm going, "Wait a second. Rebecca told me they're going to a Christmas party." And immediately I'm thinking, she lied to me. And it's like, is she not really interested? And she's just doing this because she's a nice person. She doesn't want to say no to me. And this is what compounded is because Rebecca was in the college choir and they were going to be singing their cantata. They had this whole Christmas program that they were doing Sunday night in church. Realize this is Saturday afternoon. And afterwards there was a Christmas party that each choir member could invite one person to. All right? It's Saturday, 24 hours away, and she hasn't invited me. And I thought we hit it off. I thought there was a connection there, but I'm going up here, and I've been thinking this, and I thought maybe at the singing Christmas tree over dinner, she'd ask me to the Christmas concert, so I would know this just isn't a one-way relationship, that she's interested also, but she never asked. And so that really compounds things, and I'm thinking, she lied to me. She doesn't want to tell me. I wish she'd just tell me she's not interested. Don't string me along. And I was ready to let her have it. Yeah, the great man of God that I am. Okay. So I was going to talk to her the next day after church and to talk to her at lunch because we would do lunch together. I go to church and she's not there. And what I didn't realize is that the choir was 60 miles away doing their program in a different church. So I don't get to see her. So now this is just, it's still there. It's boiling now. I don't get to see her. And so I go Sunday night to the Christmas cantata the choir does. And afterwards, she comes bounding up to me. And before I can open my mouth, and friends, this is the providence of God, okay? God sometimes protects you from yourself, all right? Before I can open my mouth, she says, "You'll never guess what. John took me to the singing Christmas tree. Oh, by the way, do you want to come to the Christmas party tonight?" And I'm going, yeah, sure. And I'm going, oh, thank you, God, I didn't open my mouth too quick. But that one moment changed absolutely everything for me. I want to welcome everyone here today to Radius Church on this Easter Sunday, those who are here in person and those who are online today. Thank you for being with us. And I want to talk to you today. The title of our message is called Ripped. It's called Ripped. All of you should have received the card when you came in. Do you have a card that looks like this? If you don't, raise your hand, because we want everyone to have it. We're going to use this at the end of the service, so be ready with that. Wave your hand if you don't. Ushers are going to be ready to get it to you. All right, ushers, you did a great job. I think everyone has one. That's awesome. If not, just get it up high. Don't be embarrassed, okay? So we're going to talk about, and this is the thing that I want you to realize, is that God can do things in our life in a moment that absolutely changes everything. I have a present up here. And when you open a present, when you open a present, you're very neat. You kind of look for the tape and you take it off very carefully and almost preserve the wrapping paper, because that's like going in a frame. All right, that's one way people open presents. The other way is that they just rip into them and it's all over the place. All right, who's that first way? You're very neat. Okay, there's a few. How many just let her rip? All right, yeah, most of you let her rip, all right. Well, when you let her rip, or even if you do it neat, two things happen. First of all, the beautiful bow, the nice paper, the packaging, it's destroyed. This nice-looking present right now, that stuff is just garbage, and it goes in the garbage. It's gone. It's done away with. The second thing happens when you rip open a present is you get to open up what's inside and find something that's great, something that's beneficial, maybe really valuable, something that's helpful. So two things happen when something's ripped open. It's destroyed, and something else is opened up. Something's ripped up, something's opened up. Okay, you follow with me on that? That's key for us to understand as we talk about this today. And what I want to do is I want to share with you one moment from the Easter story that's maybe an insight you've never really heard of before. Maybe it's an insight you've read over the Bible, heard about it, but you never really thought anything about it. But this one insight can change how you perceive Easter, because many of you have come here today and thought, you know, this is an Easter service. We're going to hear about the death of Jesus and hear about the resurrection of Jesus. Death and resurrection, kind of the same thing every year at Easter. I mean, and the death and resurrection of Jesus, that is at the core of the Easter message. That's the core of the season. You would be amiss if you didn't talk about the death and resurrection of Jesus at Easter. But there is one thing, there's one detail today that I want you to understand that maybe can give you a whole new insight. Just as that insight when Freddie bit Johnny now destroyed a false assumption. Excuse me, not Johnny, but Joey. Unless Joey has a split personality. No. But it destroys a false assumption, but also it prevents you from not only making a big mistake, but as you now equate justice to Freddie because he did something wrong, a wedge is not driven in between your relationship with Joey, and it opens up a healthy relationship with him. Just as Rebecca's one statement, that one moment, it ripped apart my fears that she wasn't interested. It ripped apart my feelings of being lied to and being betrayed, and it opened our relation up to something greater, to something bigger, to where now 34 years later, 4 kids and 3 grandkids, I love my wife. We've got a great marriage. But you see, in one moment can change everything. And my prayer today is that this one moment, this one insight can change everything for you. What is that insight, you ask? It's found in Mark 15, verse 37. You can turn to it in your Bibles if you want. And as you do, I'm going to pray. Father God, I thank you for your great love that you display on the cross and that Jesus is alive. And as we open your word today and we look at truth, I pray that this truth would transform us. God, that you would bring victory, as that word, that prophecy came earlier in the service, in every area of our life, and that you do great and exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or imagine. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. What is that fact found in Mark 15, verses 37 and 38? It's this. Jesus cried out with a loud voice and breathed his last. Then, notice, as soon as he breathed his last breath, then the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now, we have a depiction of the temple and the veil up on our stage today. Now, I just want you to realize nobody knows for certain what the temple veil looks like because the Roman Empire, they invaded Jerusalem in 70 AD. They destroyed the temple. They destroyed much of Jerusalem. So we don't know exactly what the veil looked like. The temple was divided into two parts, all right? The first part was called the holy place. And it was where the priests, they would walk in to the tabernacle or the temple, and they ministered in this first part in the holy place every single day. Every day they were in there, they were praying, they were lighting the lampstand, they were offering up incense at morning and at evening, they were bringing in blood of sacrifices. It was an everyday occurrence. But there was a second part behind the veil called the Holy of Holies. And nobody went into the Holy of Holies except one person one time a year, and we'll talk about that in just a little bit. But realize this veil was in between. It separated the two parts of the temple from each other. Now, the colors of the veil, we read in Exodus, if we could show that verse up on the screen, that the color of the veil was red, it was scarlet, it was blue, and also fine linen. That means white. Now, Josephus, who was an ancient historian back in the first century, he wrote what the temple veil looked like, and he talked about how there was red in it, and he said that this whole veil, it represented the universe. It was kind of a depiction of all that God had created. And the red stood for the underworld, fire underneath the world. Now, we know that there's molten rock and lava and that kind of thing, but there's a spiritual significance to that. Because Jesus, when he told the story of the rich man and Lazarus, he talked about how, and you got to realize, because Jesus hasn't died on the cross for sin, no person, when they died, if they were righteous, could go to heaven and be in God's presence. Jesus talked about the righteous dead, Lazarus the beggar, he was in Abraham's bosom, and the rich man who was wicked, he was in Hades, where he was being tormented so much that he said, if you could just dip your finger in water, have Lazarus dip his finger in the water and let a drop fall into my mouth, it would give me relief. Now, I don't know about you, but that must be pretty intense heat. And so Jesus talks about this fire that's under the earth, and that's what the red symbolized. The white, the fine linen, that symbolized flax that grew on the earth, so that was land. The purple symbolized the ocean. Now, you might wonder, how did that symbolize the ocean? Because the purple dye that they used to dye the cloth came from the secretion of snails that lived in the sea. And those snails, when you would extract these secretions, it made the purple dye. What's really interesting is that when that dye was exposed to sunlight, it now turned things to blue. And that's where the sky comes in. We have a lighter blue for like kind of the sky we see, but then a darker blue for the sky, the universe, the stars, the expanse. And so these are the colors that were in the veil, and it symbolizes that God has created everything, and God is the king of everything. He's in charge of everything. But there was something else about this veil, and it acted like a brick wall. It acted like a guardian standing sentry who would not let anyone pass. And the reason for that is because that was where the Ark of the Covenant was kept. That was where the immediate presence of God was, and no one had access to it. No one had access to the presence of God. And the thing that I want you to realize this morning, friends, is that all of us are born with a veil in our life. We're told about it in Isaiah 59, verse 2. It says, your iniquities, your sin, your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Now, I know sin is a theological term, a term you might hear in church. You really don't hear it out in the world. What is sin? How do you define sin? Well, in the original language, it was a term that was used like if you were in archery or if you're throwing a spear at a target, and it meant to fail, that you were aiming at the target and you missed your mark. It fell short. You failed. You didn't hit what you were trying to hit. And we're told in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, all have sinned, that's the word, all have failed, they have missed the mark, and they fall short of the glory of God. God's glory is his holiness, his moral purity, his perfection. God is perfect, he's sinless, and all of us have sinned. We are not perfect. Let's do a survey. Is there anyone here who is perfect? You've never done anything wrong. Raise your hand. I can't raise my hand. I can't do it. Anyone in the house? You're a liar. No. Anyone online? No. None of us can raise our hand. Because all of us have done things that are wrong. All of us have maybe reacted and lashed out in anger. We've been bitter. We've been angry. Maybe we've lusted. We've lied. We've been jealous. We've been greedy. You know, we've disobeyed our parents growing up. We've broken the law at different times. We have all sinned. And you think about, well, I'm not that bad of a person, but how many times a day does the average person sin? 5, 10, 20, 15. Let's say you only sin 3 times a day. That's not too bad of a person. 3 times a day? Well, do you realize after 1 year, 365 days, you have committed 1,000 sins? And if you live the normal 70, 80-year lifespan, that's 70 to 80,000 sins. 70 to 80,000 times you violated the law of God. What would happen if a person stood before an earthly judge and they had broken the law 70,000, 80,000 times? I mean, they're in deep weeds. It's either a life sentence or a death sentence. That person has no redeeming value. And the thing is that each of us, for just 3 sins a day, are going to stand before a perfect, pure, sinless God and say, I'm a good person with 70 to 80,000 violations against your law. See, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death. It's eternity in hell. It's that red area on the veil. It's Hades, where those who haven't been forgiven of their sin, they go and they spend eternity there because they haven't been washed of their sin. Sin needs to be ripped away from us. It needs to be destroyed so that we can go to heaven and we can experience everything God has for us in the here and now and in the afterlife, in this life and in the afterlife. Sin keeps you and me from knowing God's love, from having a relationship with him. Sin keeps you and me from experiencing God's comfort to realize he cares about us and he wants to help us in all of our situations. Sin keeps you and me from having God's power to deliver us and set us free from habits and addictions and from allowing sin to dominate and control our lives. Sin keeps you and me from experiencing the peace and the joy of trusting God with everything. It keeps us from having wisdom and guidance so that we can make right decisions and find out what God wants for us and we can live in his plans and follow his plans and honor and obey him. Sin destroys us. When we live with sin, we have a guilty conscience. We have shame because of our past. We have regrets. We have fear. We have a life without purpose if we're living for ourselves and not living for God. It's like you're on a hamster wheel. It's like the person who said, all I do is sow. I sleep, eat, and I work. S-E-W, sleep, eat, work. Sleep, eat, work. I get up every day, and then I work, you know, and I eat, And then I go back and I sleep and I eat and I work. And what's the meaning of life? I had a conversation with a person a few months ago. They were just saying, what's life all about? Because I feel like it's just empty. There's no meaning, no significance. I want you to realize this morning that sin keeps us from God. It's like a veil. Just as the veil kept everyone out, and no one could go in except one person, and that was the high priest. We read about this in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 7. It says, only the high priest entered the room, and that only once a year, and never without blood, which he offered for himself and for the sins the people had committed in ignorance. You see, the reason for blood is that when there is blood is shed, something dies, and the wages of sin is death. And so in the Old Testament, they had animal sacrifices. And the priest, since he was a sinner, offered a sacrifice for himself and then one for the sin of the entire nation. Once a year, he would slip behind that veil into the Holy of Holies. But we're told that those sacrifices he offered, they're faulty. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, it says, the sacrifices under that system were repeated again and again, year after year, but they were never able to provide perfect cleansing for those who came to worship. If they could have provided perfect cleansing, the sacrifices would have stopped. For the worshipers would have been purified once for all time, and their feelings of guilt would have disappeared. But instead, those sacrifices actually reminded them of their sins year after year. For it's not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. And as you look in Hebrews chapter 9 and chapter 10, we're told that Jesus is the high priest. He was sinless. He never committed any sin. We celebrate Christmas, where God became flesh and dwelt among us, and Jesus lived a perfect sinless life so that he could take our death penalty. You see, Jesus was the high priest. He was also the ultimate sacrifice, and he offered his blood. When he died on the cross, he went through the veil, and he offered his blood so that we can have access with God. There was a prophecy Isaiah gave, and it was 700 years before Jesus died and several hundred years before crucifixion had even been invented. And this is what Isaiah said. He said, referring to Jesus, he was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised. We held him in low esteem. Surely he took our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. That's the crucifixion, pierced with nails. It hadn't been invented yet. But God knew what was going to happen. They say that crucifixion was the most painful form of execution that's ever been invented. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his own wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. In those hours leading up to Christ's death, Jesus endured an all-night trial. Eventually, he was condemned to death on a cross so that Isaiah 53 would be fulfilled. After that took place, he was whipped, mocked, and beaten, and at 9 o'clock in the morning, he was nailed to the cross. About noon, darkness fell on the land, and it lasted for 3 hours. About 3 p.m, Jesus uttered a series of statements. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He cried that out as he bore the weight of all of the sin of the entire world, of everyone who lived in the past, who was in the present, and all who would live in the future. Then he said, "It is finished." He completed the sacrifice for man's sin. So no longer do you need the sacrifices of bulls and goats every year. Jesus died once for all to cleanse us forever of our sins, removing them as far as the east is to the west. And last of all, Christ said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And with that, he breathed his last breath. At the precise moment Jesus died, there was a massive earthquake. The land shook, rocks were split into pieces, mountains trembled, tombs where people had been buried opened up, and the temple veil was torn from top to bottom. God had ripped open the veil. And when he did, he ripped apart sin. The Bible says that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to conquer and abolish sin and death. And when he did that, he opened up heaven to us. He opened up access for every single person to God. Because God loves us so much. He didn't want us to spend eternity in hell. He wanted you and I to have a relationship with him so that we can live with him in heaven forever, but not just up there, but right now we can experience his life and his love, because God has a plan and a purpose for your life. He wants you to know him. He wants you to influence others so they don't go to hell. God cares for you. God ripped apart sin and all of its consequences. The Bible says, surely he came to carry our griefs and our sorrows. It says that by his stripes we're healed, and that's a physical healing. It's emotional healing. It's spiritual healing. Jesus has the power to deliver us from every bad habit, from every addiction. It doesn't matter what it is. God is, all things are possible, and he wants to give you victory today. I want you to take out this card that you were handed. It's got the graphic of ripped. Because you see, there are things today God wants to rip away from your life that are weighing you down, that are keeping you in bondage, that are keeping you from experiencing everything that God has in store for you. And as they're ripped away, he wants to open them up, because it's not just destroying the bad, it's opening up the good. We read earlier how the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That word Lord is a Bible term that means boss, it means leader. I can only experience the gift of abundant life and eternal life if I make Jesus the Lord, the leader, the one who's in charge of my life. And this morning, we're going to take a few moments to just write down on this card. There should be a pen in front of you. Somebody, and you can just take this pen. I want you to write down what you need to be ripped away in your life. I want you to write down what you need God to rip away. And I want to pray for you this morning as you're writing. Father God, I come to you in the all-powerful name of Jesus, the one who died on the cross for our sins. We thank you, and with that resurrection, we know all things are possible. And God, we heard a word earlier about how you want to give us victory in everything. So God, as we write down our everythings, every single thing that we need victory in, I pray today you would accomplish it. And as you rip apart those things, God, you would open us up to all that you have for us. Many of you here today in the house or online, maybe the biggest thing you need ripped up is your sin. You need your sin ripped up. There are some of you, you don't have a relationship with God. You know, if you died today, you're not sure, or you know for sure, you wouldn't go to heaven. There's some of you here this morning, you've maybe never go to church. You've never really thought about God. You've been just living life the way you want it. But today, God has been tugging on your heart. He's convicting you of your sin, that you've missed the mark, and you need to get right with God. You need to confess your sin and accept the leadership of Jesus Christ. If that's you in the house this morning, I want you to just to write sin on your card. Maybe you've got some other things, but the most important thing you need to write on your card is sin. Write sin on your card this morning. Others of you, maybe there's a situation, there's issues in your life. Maybe you deal with fear about something, a certain thing, maybe a fear about your future, a fear you're single and you're fearful you're going to be single for the rest of your life. But maybe there's some of you, it's just an overriding fear. You're fearful about everything. Some of you struggle with feelings of worthlessness or loneliness and isolation. Others of you, you've got a life-controlling problem. Maybe it's gambling, alcohol, drugs, pornography. Maybe you have an eating disorder. Maybe you, it's not an eating disorder, but you just overeat, or maybe you overspend. There are so many different things, but friends, nothing is impossible with God. Do you have your thing that you want ripped up written on your card? If you do, I want you to hold your card up. All right, get your card up. Keep writing if you don't. Because we're going to do something with these cards in just a moment, believing for God to give you victory. Go ahead and finish writing it up. And I want you to stand your feet this morning, all right? Those online, you can write on your card. Go get a piece of paper, write something down, because God wants to give you victory in this moment. I want you to take your card. I want you to hold it up high today. Father God, you see everything that we have written here. And Lord, I thank you for opening up the veil that we are free to have access to you. And we can come boldly before the throne of grace. I thank you, Father God, that you forgive us of our sin and you wash us as white as snow. But then, God, you also help us with our problems, our fears, depression, discouragement, addiction. God, I thank you that you give us purpose and meaning in life. I thank you for joy, peace, comfort, healing, and hope. God, I pray right now that you will set people free this morning. Friends, I want to recite this declaration. I want you to repeat this after me, applying the parts that apply to your life. Repeat this with me. Lord God, you see what's on my card. I give it all to you. Forgive me of all my sin. I'm sorry for what I've done wrong. Set me free by the power of the cross. From every addiction, from every controlling thing, from every bad thought, from every work that the devil wants to try to fulfill in my life, I renounce it now in Jesus' name. Rip away the junk and open me up to everything that you have in store for me. Jesus, I love you. You're my leader and my forgiver. And I will live for you. Thank you for victory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, I want you to take your card, and on the count of three, we're going to rip this up. All right, you ready? One, two, three. It's been done. It's been done. I want you to celebrate what God's done for us. Give God thanks this morning, all right?
You have been listening to the podcast of Radius Church in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please check us out at radiuschurch.life or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation.